You're listening to A Little of This and Some of That, a podcast about food, friendship, and family. Hi, I'm Dom.
And I'm Carl.
And today we are talking about the big game.
The big game.
The big game. Game day's coming up. Big Super Bowl parties.
Right around the corner.
Absolutely. Now, if you were to ask me any other time during the football season, my level of enthusiasm, I would say, eh.
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, not so big a fan of the football, but I tell you what, when Super Bowl time comes around, I'm all about the parties. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun, good time to get together with friends. If you think about it, you're doing a whole month's worth of celebrating during the holidays. We just come off of that.
You know,
you're getting together with friends. You're having some cocktails. You're having picky foods, parties. You do all that a good month. And you need about 4 weeks to kind of let things settle down. You get back into track. And then, hey, let's get together and do it one more time, but on a much smaller scale. That's the way I look at Super Bowl parties.
Okay.
Fun time. Like I said, you're getting together. Great food. Really, really bad food for you. That's the thing here. That's what I'm talking about. And I say that in the most loving way because everybody goes and picks and has a good time. But, man, you do not want to be doing a cholesterol test after
no.
a good Super Bowl party.
I always notice that all the food is gone except for, like, the broccoli. The broccoli is still there.
Broccoli's anything crudité is not going to be touched during there. But we're going to talk about that in a little while. What we're talking about on this podcast is fun, picky foods with a little bit more of a creative spin. Now, again, because this is Super Bowl party, you want to have quick hit foods. I'm not making this any sort of a sit down formal dinner. We're going to approach these food ideas that I have the same way you would approach a normal Super Bowl party, but just a little bit more of a creative, fun spin. If you have kids at home, as both Carl and I do, this is a way to get them involved. My kids love a lot of these foods that we're serving. So right off the bat, first food you think of when you have a Super Bowl party, what everybody goes to?
Wings?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wings. No, you can't go wrong with wings. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the sloppy, drippy wings. I'm not a big, even when I do ribs, anything like that, I'm more of a dry rub kind of a guy. I'm not one that likes all the barbecue sauce and the buffalo sauce, but on that day, that is probably the signature dish.
Yeah.
So what I have here, leave it to the Italian to figure out how to get a meatball involved with this. I make a buffalo chicken meatball. Okay.
Ooh.
Now, before I get in any of these other foods, let me say, when you have a party, you have people over, you have friends over, you want to be mingling, you want to be hanging out. So I'm just going to say right off the bat, all of these foods here that we're talking about, they can all be prepared ahead of time, thrown in the oven. So these foods aren't going to be taking you away from the party. You're going to be right there in the mix with everybody.
And can I assume that a lot of these are what I'd call plateable? Like you can, you know, a lot of people are standing around, they got a little plate and they get all their things on it, and they're still engaging in conversation. It's not like we got to go in a separate room and
nope. This is very easy, picky foods, toothpicks involved, maybe some, you know, a little bit of plasticware here and there, but of course stuff you're going to want to be sitting down, like I said, quick grab, quick hit foods, because that's what people want to do. You want to have a lot of things, quick reaching things. So that's the direction we're going with this. So back to the meatballs. What I do, buffalo chicken meatballs. And what I'm doing here with this is I'm getting some ground chicken, and you're mixing a traditional buffalo sauce, hot sauce, butter. You're folding that into your chicken meatball mixture. All the other ingredients I have on the website for the meatballs. But what you're doing with this, you're getting that hot flavor, but there's no drippiness to it.
Nice.
It's all right there. And if you don't believe me, I have a sample right here for you.
Oh,
so we're going.
You know what? The room we're recording this in smells fantastic, by the way.
This is the first time that I'm actually having Carl do some taste test on here. Obviously,
all right.
Not the last. So
grab a fork.
Absolutely. Dip in. Now, I don't have a sauce here, but of course, you know, you do buffalo wings. People usually go with a blue cheese dressing, a ranch dressing, something along those lines. Works fantastic for this. Are you getting a bit of a buffalo taste there?
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's not over the top, though.
Right.
I like my food spicy, but not so spicy that I, you know, I got tears on it in my face.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before in the past about spiciness, and people really, you know, they go into it. If you want to put a little bit more of a buffalo sauce on the side, people could jack it up a little bit more, by all means. I like going in like a mild to moderate level because mm-hmm. you don't know people's heat tolerance.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just assume everybody loves it.
No, those
you know?
Are good.
Yeah. It's a fun way to do it, not a sloppy way. You're getting the chicken taste. You're getting the buffalo taste.
And those aren't what I would call, like, some people might think meatball. There's like, it's a gigantic meatball. Mm. These are little guys.
Yeah, I make them little cocktail size.
Yeah, because they're great for just, I can hit that with a fork and in the mouth and I'm done.
Even if you want to set them up ahead of time with some toothpicks, quick hits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun way to go.
I'm going to have another one.
Absolutely. Help all yourself. Right. Jump on in there. You're keeping the tradition alive of buffalo, chicken. And again, like I said, leave it to the Italian guy to get a meatball involved somehow. But these have always been a big hit at parties that we've had. And if you want to go with more of a barbecue sauce, a lot of times when people have buffalo wings, my brother-in-law has a great Super Bowl party, and he'll grab a bunch of different wings, mild, medium, super hot, barbecue. Have at it. You can go make this your own little thing. Run with it. But again, this is a creative and fun way to get the traditional flavors. Slightly different approach.
No, I like it. That's a good idea.
Good deal.
And you're going to put the recipes for all these on the blog?
I have, yeah. These recipes are already up on my blog. Over the years, they've been there, but
you should link to them. Yeah.
Yes, we'll have a link to them in the show notes. It'll bring you right to them. Real easy to go.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Next up, I don't have a sample of this, but if you go to any type of a party, it doesn't have to be a football party, Super Bowl party, the next most popular food you can think of when you go to a party that's easy.
Usually, pizza?
Pizza, absolutely.
Well, I'm
this is good. This is working great.
Two for two.
Yeah. Pizza is an easy food to serve. You know, you can order up a bunch of pies, bring them there, boom, there you go. What I like to do for parties, we've done this for birthday parties, is we make individual pizza pockets. And you can do this ahead of time, or if you want to get the crowd involved, the kids involved. The crowd might not be so involved with this during a game, unless it's maybe halftime and the band or whoever's playing they're not into, they can come in and make their own.
Right.
But what we do is we'll make a pizza dough. You can buy a pre-made pizza dough. You know, you don't have to be totally homemade on this. Get like a 2.5 to 3 inch cookie cutter, biscuit cutter, make little circles out of it, and then you keep your pizza toppings there. You can allow people to put whatever they want in there. What we like to do with our kids, and what could be particularly fun, because Super Bowl is all about betting on the teams, which side's going to win, you know. We go two routes. We'll do a fried version and a baked version. Now, traditionally, pizza pockets that are baked are considered calzones. Calzones normally have a more of an elegant filling, ricotta cheese, maybe prosciutto, spinach, something like that. Whereas a fried pizza pocket, which is often known as a panzerotti, pizza turnover, they're just...
That's not an inside out, though.
It could be, yeah, it's an inside out. Okay, absolutely. All right. You're familiar with those.
I'm familiar with those.
Gooey.
My
drippy,
wife loves
greasy.
Those.
Yes. So by cooking them at home, not putting them into a deep fryer, you can fry them on the stovetop, have a little bit of control of the grease level and everything. But by doing it that way, you're going to get more of a bubbly, crispy crust. Inside the oven, you're going to get a more of a baked crust. Again, if you do this ahead of time, you can have team fried versus team baked. See which way we're going with this. The Super Bowl parties, you got to have a little fun with it. And when you put these out here, you can have people vote for their MVP of the day, the most visited plate of the day. You know, why not?
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
So we have pizza out of the way. We have buffalo wings out of the way. Third most famous food at any Super Bowl party is, of course, salad, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the easy one.
That's what we talked about before is salads. Now, of course, you put out a salad, some people might be like, eh, not so much. But what I do, and this is a recipe that I got years ago, is a Dorito salad, a nacho-flavored salad. Okay,
I'm going to... All right, you got to explain that one.
Well, I'm going to explain it, and you give the taste here, because I have a little sample here for you as
bring
well.
It.
Bring it on up.
Bring it up on the desk here.
What we're doing with a Dorito salad, okay, it's a basic lettuce. I prefer using romaine. The original recipe called for iceberg salad. There's no nutritional value whatsoever in iceberg lettuce. So no. I use romaine. If you like iceberg, by all means, go ahead. You want to get spinach in there, that's fine. What I'm putting in this salad are some nacho-flavored items. We have little grape tomatoes. We have shredded cheese, of course, the Mexican flavor version. We have Catalina dressing, which is what gives the zip to this, the flavor. Okay. Busted up nachos. This is where my kids come in to play with this. They love breaking up the nachos, tasting a little bit here and there. They have a lot of fun with it. If you want to add meat to it, you can add ground meat. You can add ground chicken. You can add chicken breast pieces. You can add shrimp. Whatever flavors you like in your taco. This is a nice, zesty, fun salad that could be served at any party. It always goes over well at the Super Bowl parties for some reason. The salad always moves. What do you think of that?
You know what I like about this? Is typically when you have like a get-together, there's always going to be chips out. Mm-hmm. But this,
it's all right in there.
It's already in there. And it's you know, like there's lettuce and tomatoes and cheese. And, you know, it's a little healthier than just here's a huge bag of Doritos.
Exactly. You get the crunch. You get a little bit of flavor. But, again, yeah. you know, and that's why I prefer going with the romaine. The rule is the darker the leaf, the more vitamin and nutrients are in there for you. Again, whatever you like to do. You want to use the spinach instead?
Oh, so we use spinach at the house. Mm-hmm. We love spinach.
Oh, fresh spinach is fresh phenomenal. Spinach. Yeah. Great, great salads.
I got to try growing that this summer.
Hey.
That's something we can talk about in a podcast. Mm-hmm. Home gardens.
There you go. And the time's going to be coming up in another couple months where people are going to start thinking about that.
Yeah, and we're going to start growing, you know, lettuce and carrots and things early in the season. And then, yeah.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to visiting that. I always look forward to getting into the garden and trying new things. So, hey, sure, and we could take suggestions from people. Any ideas you all have out there, let us know. Something that's always been on the back of my mind with this, I've been making this salad for maybe 10 years now at this point. Always goes over big. I've never tried the Cool Ranch Doritos. People talk Doritos. It's always, do you like the nacho? Do you like the Cool right. Ranch? And I've always wanted to try Cool Ranch with a ranch dressing. Who knows? Maybe you can make both. Have another MVP thing going on there. Team Cool Ranch versus Team Nacho. You know? Just having a little bit of fun.
This is really good. So,
yeah, it's a fun salad. Like I said, it always goes over big at the parties. It's just, it's got snack written all over it, but, you know, it's not as junky.
Yeah.
Another thing that I make, and I've been doing this a lot lately, is putting wonton wrappers and egg roll wrappers to use. And I don't just, I made egg rolls for my dad's birthday, finding a traditional egg roll filling, and it worked really well. When I made it, I said, well, that was easy enough. What can I do to kind of make the fillings a little more interesting? And since then, I've used meatball, I've used cheesesteak, I've used Italian vegetables, provolone cheese, broccoli rabe, roasted red pepper, and make these little appetizer things. And again, all of these recipes are up on my food
blog. Now, are those you bake those or are these?
I bake them, yes, right. I do. I put them on a tray. I spray them with a little baking spray, put them in the oven. High heat because you want those
crispy on the outside.
Exactly. I always make them for the New Year's parties that we go to for our family, and I just find myself using them more and more. Again, the kids can help roll them. I have a bunch of different versions on my food blog, domskitchen.com. So that is a great, fun way to get some other foods out there. Again, easy pick stuff.
You know, I was just going to say, what you've explained so far does not seem complicated to make.
Mm-mm.
Does not seem like it would be all that expensive to make.
No, not at all. It's basic, picky stuff that you use, that anybody gets, that my parents got for parties growing up. When I was growing up, we didn't do these outlandish, you know, extravagant parties. It was chips and a couple of picky things, and this is just a modernized version of that. You know?
No, I like it.
So this kind of covers a lot of the basic, quick, picky things that I serve at Super Bowl parties. I just had an idea, actually. I'm thinking of this. Super Bowl party. S-O-U-P-E-R, bowl, Super Bowl. This year, you know, we have the New England Patriots in there. You get a nice big bowl of New England clam chowder.
I love clam chowder.
That's a great thing, clam. Now, are you New England or are you Manhattan clam chowder? Are you a little of both or which way do you like?
You know, I go back and forth. I'm probably more New England.
Okay, a little more hearty, a little more rich this time of year.
I ate so much of it one season that my wife, she's going to find this funny when she listens to the podcast, she called me Chowderhead for like weeks, you know.
That's funny, yeah.
Probably shouldn't have eaten it as much as I did, right, or as long as I did. But yeah, I do like my clam chowder.
It was a fun run.
It was while it lasted. Then the nickname came out, and I stopped eating.
Yeah, there's nothing like a really, really good bowl of New England clam chowder. I haven't made it homemade, but I've had some really good ones in restaurants. So you know, that's a fun way to go. And you got the Seattle, the other team. You get somebody to bring a big box of Starbucks coffee to balance off the night. You have both sides.
There you
covered,
go.
So now I'm going to pass the ball. You like what I did there? I want to pass the ball to you. I talked about some food. I want to hear your thoughts on beers for a Super Bowl party, because beer is always very well represented at every Super Bowl party that
right,
I've ever been to.
Right.
So how would you approach serving beer to your friends at a party?
Well, I know that my friends, you know, we drink anything from any end of the spectrum. Well, you know, PBR and Coors Light at one end to, you know,
sure,
you know, really hard to find craft mm-hmm. beers at the other end.
They all serve their purposes.
Now we've got the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. So I thought to thematically kind of, you know, spice up the party, I would choose something from each, you know, location in the country.
Good planning.
Now, the one thing about the United States is we have gazillions of microbreweries and small breweries. Mm-hmm. Every state's got their own. A lot of them just brew in the state. So I tried to pick some out that were easily accessible around the country. So, for example, Red Hook is out of Seattle. Mm-hmm. But they've got, you know, you can find that pretty much anywhere. So one of the more commonly found Red Hook beers is their ESB, their Extra Special Bitter. Mm-hmm. Don't let the bitter throw you off. It's not really that bitter. It's just a traditional English style, so it's probably palatable by most people, even if they are Coors Light drinkers.
Okay, a good beer for a casual drinker to kind of try out.
Yeah,
they're intimidated.
It's not too intimidated. It's okay. Not a super hoppy beer. It's not in the high alcohol. It's only like 4.5%. You know, which is comparable to
sure.
pretty much anything else you're going to buy out there. So, it's a little maltier than some beers you might have had, like a Coors Light or whatever. So I'd suggest that. You know, you could try that. What else we got? Let's go to the New England. Allagash is probably better known for their Belgians.
Okay.
And you can find that just about anywhere. If you're not a Belgian fan, they do make some other ones, but their other beers are harder to find. Their Belgian styles are all over the place. You could obviously go to Sam Adams. Mm-hmm. You're going to find that anywhere.
And Sam Adams probably has all of the bases covered with everything that they offer.
Yeah, you're going to find your lagers and your porters or whatever. They make just about everything. So you could go that route too. Have that in the house. Now you got both sides of the country covered. We were talking earlier before we got in here. And you had mentioned this beer that I had not heard of. What was it? It was made by Red Hook.
Oh, the Dan Patrick's Audible Ale.
Audible Ale.
Audible Ale. Some friends of mine last year, we had a little beer draft before the it was after the Super Bowl, obviously, we did it. Everybody brought in a certain amount of beers. We brought them in prior to the Super Bowl, so everybody saw what was on the table. And we did one of those pools where you bet on who wins the coin toss, what's the first commercial, who's caught picking their nose on the screen first, all these goofy things that people bet on. But what we did was at the end, we did total points, and whoever had the most points got a half a case out of it, and then second place got three beers, third place got two beers, and last place got a single beer.
Right.
But and everybody brought in different things, and one of my buddies brought in this Audible Ale, which is directed towards you know, football, and it was a slightly stronger beer. You know, I wouldn't say intimidating, but definitely stepping up from your usual, what people call BMC beers, the Bud Miller Coors beers.
Right.
I enjoyed it. You know, it's out there. Definitely this time of year it's out there. More beers are going to be coming up because of early spring. Everybody releases early beers. I know there's a lot of Pilsner-type beers that are coming out, Noble Pils and all
right.
these different things. So that's a fun way to approach you know, a gentleman's bet. You know, you want to get a little beer involved there. It's a way, again, to try different things, which I'm always a big fan of. You'll constantly hear me saying that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try and find this.
Yeah,
this sure. Audible Ale.
If you find it, we'll talk about it next
time. Yeah, I'm actually going to go down to the beer distributor, mm-hmm. one around the corner here on Township Line, and I'm going to ask them if they have it or if they can get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you don't see it on the shelves and you ask them, they'll bring in a case or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's worth asking.
And over the next week is when you really want to look for that. I'm sure they'll still have some around, but they're going to be.
It'd be a no-brainer. It'd be a no-brainer to have something like that out.
Absolutely.
Just I'm surprised there aren't more football-themed or sport-themed beers.
I tell you what, based on the taste of it and the reaction that all my friends had last year, if they had that reaction, I'm sure more people who have tried it is going to have that reaction. And it should spike up a little bit more of an interest. I mean, you know how well the seasonal beers do now. I mean, during the fall season, pumpkin beer is galore, and Christmas
they fly
time,
off the shelves.
Yeah, although
and they're only around for about a month.
Yeah, although this past year, store that I go to still has Pumpkin on the shelf. They overstocked.
They finally overstocked,
and I'm kind of glad they did, because you know what? It's a little bit of overload. I think they were getting a little cocky there with their product.
Didn't it come out in like August or something?
It came out in August, and for the longest time, Pumpkin, for those who aren't familiar with it, is a pumpkin beer that people consider it the equivalent to pumpkin pie in a bottle.
Yeah.
And they kind of had that market cornered, and now everybody's making pumpkin beers, and they had some trouble shaking it this year.
Wow.
So that's what happened. So I could see brewers taking advantage of the football season. I'm very surprised that Sam Adams, if they haven't done it yet, if they won't, because Sam Adams is very big on seasonal stuff. I've actually heard that their lager is their flagship beer, and sometimes they have trouble moving that because they put out so many different things, you know?
It almost seems like a smart move to kind of get somebody in the sports world kind of attach their name to it. Now I'm sure that individual is going to get paid.
Right.
You know? So I don't know if it'd be, I don't know, it'd be interesting. See if they could find someone else to kind of attach their name to it.
I'm curious to see it. It worked on the Wheaties box. Why not on a beer bottle, you know? So that's what I have to offer for Super Bowl parties. Again, like Carl said, these are all foods that are very simple to prepare, inexpensive. You can have them all done earlier in the day, so you can just mingle with your friends. That's the big part of the Super Bowl party, having fun. You know, you watch some of the games, you watch the commercials, you see who's doing the halftime show, and you just sit back, relax, have a good meal. And with these food options that we put out, hopefully not so detrimental to the arteries as a lot of Super Bowl food can be. But give it all a try. It's all going to be linked in the show notes for this. You can find it all on my food blog, domskitchen.com.
Yeah, before we say goodnight here, I got my 15 and 15 started.
Oh, you do? Okay, excellent. Yeah. Tell me about it. What do we have going on here?
All right, well, I got two categories because the whole cheese thing just didn't, and you know, the grill thing hasn't.
We have time for that.
But this is easy. The wines and spirits and the beer, those are my two categories. I tried a wine out of New Zealand. Chris and I tried a wine out of New Zealand by a company called Matua.
Okay.
It's a Pinot Noir. You could probably find this between $11 and $15. I think we paid like $12 or something for it.
Fine.
Yeah. Really nice. Really liked it. We'll get it again. Usually what happens to me is I'll find like a winery that I like, and then I keep going back to the winery and trying everything else that they have.
Sure, okay.
So that's one thing. And then I had a buddy brought over some Saranac. I tried, and then after I had this one, I went into a dark kick. So it was Saranac Into the Dark, which is a black IPA. It wasn't bad. I've had Saranac before. It's kind of middle of the road.
It's a good, I think it's, I consider it a good starter beer for those that want to try different things, you know, other than the usual. That was the first mixed case that I bought outside of Rolling Rock or Blue Moon or anything.
Saranac
like
may
that.
Have been the first mixed case that I actually bought.
Okay,
years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now everybody's doing a mixed case.
Yeah,
you know?
I think their flagship is Black Forest.
Yes,
which is a delicious beer.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
Then I had 21st Amendments. I had their black IPA called Back in Black. That was a 4-star.
Interesting. Okay.
21st Amendment's a great brewery. They get bonus points because they had Paul Revere riding a chopper on the can.
You ran from there, right?
Yeah, I was like, I'll buy that.
That's awesome.
And then Left Hand Brewing, I had their Milk Stout Nitro. It was a phenomenal stout. Great. 5 stars. Yeah. They're all new things I had not tried. And
good start. I know I'm not the biggest fan of IPAs. I'm slowly coming around, but you introduced me to a couple of black IPAs. I don't recall which ones offhand. Interesting approach, and definitely expanding my palate a little bit more. So I'm going to give these guys a try. I've put together some lists for my 15 and 15. Haven't done any yet. Just been a busy week. One of the things I'm going to be doing, playing off of the wine idea, I'm going to try 15 different recipes with wine as an ingredient. I've done a few before. Wine always, you don't have to add a lot, but it adds a nice little kick to it. And of course, when you're using wine, the alcohol will bake off, will boil off. So it's something you don't really have to, as long as you're putting it within the heated portion of it, you don't have to worry about
Getting the kids drunk.
Exactly. Yeah. they may go to sleep a little bit earlier, but hey, that's okay. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. I always found
that's
wine
a good
to be,
spin.
I always found it to be an interesting ingredient to get to incorporate, even in burgers. We can revisit that in the summertime.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
We'll talk about that. So for those of you that haven't checked out our 15 and 15, we have a PDF up there for you to track your own 15 ideas in 2015. Let us know what you're doing. Write to us at info@domskitchen.com. Let us know what Super Bowl party plans you have, what foods you serve. We're looking forward to hearing all this feedback, and we'll be sure to share it in our following show. So with that, I am Dom.
And I'm Carl.
And this is a little of this and some of that.